I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the first Sunday in Lent. My name is Darlene Schwenk, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Glory Be to Jesus, hymn number 98 in Lutheran Worship.
Please stand.
Glory be to Jesus, who in bitter pains poured for me the lifeblood from his sacred veins. Grace and life eternal in that blood I find. Blessed be his compassion, infinitely kind. Blessed through endless ages be the precious stream, which from endless torment did the world redeem. Abel's blood for vengeance leadeth to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. Oft as earth exalting wafts its praise on high, angel hosts rejoicing make their glad reply. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise thy precious blood.
Surely Christ has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases, yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. Christ was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his wounds we are healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God, and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Almighty and Eternal God, we implore you to direct, sanctify, and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your mighty protection, both now and ever, we may be preserved in body and in soul, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please have a seat.
The lector this morning is Jim Kless. May God open our hearts to receive the word He speaks to us through Jim.
First reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your mule, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon, celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions of their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 11.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man who was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked around at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please have a seat. We'll join now in singing hymn number 109. We're going to sing verses 1 through 4.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now," hymn number 109. This is Your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Jesus, I will ponder now on your holy passion. With your Spirit me endow for such meditation. Grant that I in love and faith may the image share. your crucifixion. Make me see how scourge and rod, spear and nails did wound you, how you died for those, O God, who with thorns had crowned you. Yet, O Lord, not thus alone, make me see your passion, but its cause to me make known, and its termination. For I also and my sin brought your deep affliction. This the shameful cause has been of your crucifixion. Grant that I your passion view with repentant grieving. Let me not bring shame to you by unholy living. How could I refuse to shun every sinful pleasure, since for me God's only Son suffered without measure?
My dear friends, in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I probably should just take a quick moment to introduce this series and sermon series, worship and sermon series that we're beginning. So for those of you who weren't here on Ash Wednesday, I did kind of give a brief description of it, but over these next couple of weeks, we're going to be considering the different sins that Jesus was accused of. Now, of course, Jesus is without sin, never sinned, but those who had it out for him accused him of different things. And so we're going to look at some of those accusations that were made against him, and we're going to look at them in light of some of the commandments. So on Wednesday, we looked at the sin of blasphemy, and we talked about the first and the second commandment. And today, I'm going to talk to you about the Sabbath, and we're going to look particularly at the third commandment, and then we'll continue on from there throughout the weeks of Lent. So to get you thinking a little bit about today's theme, which is based on that gospel reading that Karen just read for us a few moments ago, I want to share with you, there was a gentleman back in around 1956. He was actually an environmentalist, and his name was Zygmunt Olson. Well, he had built this small, very, very small cabin on the banks of a lake in northern Minnesota. Now, I guess what the custom is in that area, I don't know anything about that area, by the way, I guess the custom is to name cabins. And names of cabins, I guess, are predictable. I don't know what that means, but that's what the story said. The names are predictable. If you had a cabin, what would you name it? What's a predictable name for a cabin? What does that mean? I don't know. What do you think? What's Woody? Escape? Huh? Shangri-La? Huh? Home Sweet Home? Huh? Done working. There you go. What else? Somebody said something else. Predictable. Predictable name. Lake House. Yeah, that's super predictable. Or Woody. That's predictable. It's in the woods, right? So I guess we covered that part. So now we know what a predictable cabin name is. But this gentleman was a little bit more intentional about the name of his cabin. You see, his objective in building that cabin was to be able to go and to hear all that was worth listening for. So what did he name his cabin? Listening Point. You see, he saw the value in having a place where he could go to get away, to hear from his perspective what was most important. Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, right? Thomas Edison, he invented the light bulb. I remember when I was a little kid, we went to West Orange, New Jersey, which wasn't far from where my Aunt Robin lived in Paterson, and I was fascinated by Thomas Edison, and I don't know if it was because my grandfather was an electrician. I don't know, and I almost, I don't want to say idolized him, but I always have looked up to him. But we had to go to the Thomas Edison Museum in West Orange, New Jersey. I was probably about your age. I don't know why I remember, but I do. But anyway, Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, he had a thinking chair. Now, what's the symbol that sometimes you get when you're, what's a kind of universal symbol of somebody thinking? Light bulb over their head, right? All right, so he had his thinking chair. Alexander Graham Bell, he had a dreaming place. And then Beethoven, well, what Beethoven would do is he would sit at his desk early in the morning, and then as the afternoon was approaching, he would take time every day to take a stroll, to walk. And that was how he kind of rejuvenated his mind. But here's the thing. When he took that stroll, he kept in his pocket a notebook and a pencil or pen or whatever, and his thoughts would come to his mind, he would jot them down. And he said yesterday, you know where some of the best sermon ideas take place? Somebody said the bathroom, and I said, no. let that one escape your mind, please. Some of the best sermon ideas come right from driving. You rarely see this inside of people on the road. No, just kidding. Really, just kidding. Right. But anyway, no matter the circumstance, no matter what the place was, you see, these people saw the importance of being able to get away. They saw the importance of being able to rejuvenate. That's the commonality in all of these examples, making the time uninterrupted for what's truly important, and that's key. Now, a fancy lake house or a quiet chair or a nice stroll sounds really, really good, and that's certainly encouraged, by the way. Make sure you do that for yourself. Take time. Have those mental breaks. But for you and me, we're sitting here in this place today, there's something much, much better. A most remarkable place that's been designated. A place that's set apart for our good every single week. I'm predictable, aren't I? Right here. This place. Our faith and Christ-centered community in St. John's. It's this place, you see, where you and I truly come to hear all that's worth listening for. God's Word, His promises, it's weekly refreshment for our souls. Someone once said that if your soul has no Sunday, it becomes an orphan. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, says our God. And He says it for such good reason. It's a day for you and me that's holy, set apart, different from all of the rest of the stuff throughout the course of the week. It's a designated day for you and me to stop, to be still, to listen unhindered, to be rejuvenated, to be shaped and transformed by God's most remarkable word and his promises, to be shaped by the model that our Savior Jesus has given to us. And yet, being honest with each other, sometimes we don't. And that's the truth. Now, right here, at this point in the sermon, is where your mind is starting to churn a little bit, and you're quietly thinking to yourself, well, wait a second, Pastor. You're preaching to the choir. We're here, aren't we? This sermon is meant for those people who aren't here right now. Sit tight for a second. You know, there's so much that grabs for our attention, isn't there? There's so much stuff that can sometimes occupy our minds, and the truth is how our minds can be cluttered, churning, wandering, even here, right now. And so we're taking the time out of our schedules to be here, but we have a packed agenda. We have an itinerary. And how easy sometimes, all of us, by the way, I think are guilty, including the pastor, we can clock watch, believe it or not, even though you think it might be a little long-winded sometimes. We can get here. It's another step in our day. And so maybe we're clock watching. Maybe we become fidgety. When the hour strikes, we're ready to go. Time to check the box and move on to the next thing. You see, what I'm getting at is we might be here, but the question is, are we present? How easily this can just be for us a step. It can become a matter of simply fulfilling obligation. And when it's just that, what ends up happening in the end is we miss out on what today is really all about. And I think that's what we see in the gospel reading for today. Missing out on what a day like today is really meant to be. What it's really all about. Now, if you remember, some of those religious leaders, do you remember what those religious leaders were? Or what were they called? Pharisees and Sadducees. So let's see, Corinne, if we can figure this out. All right. What was one of the belief systems of the Sadducees? What did they deny? Do you remember? From your solid Sunday school education here at St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church? Shh. Don't say that. You can. All right, so I'll say from your solid Sunday school experience at St. Mary's. Right? Still don't know. Sadducees, so here, you're never going to forget this. I'm putting you on the spot. I'm just teasing you. So one of the big beliefs of the Sadducees was they denied the resurrection. They denied that there was life after life here, right? So the Pharisees were kind of they were the big law guys. They were like the bah humbugs all the time and always trying to hang Jesus up, right? Sadducees, they denied the resurrection, which was a big part of who Jesus is, right? Of course, he died, he rose. So, Sadducees denied the resurrection. So what does that make them? Sad, you see. Get it? There you go. Never forget it now. Maybe you will. Right, but here's these religious leaders. Here's these two groups, and what they're trying to do, like they kind of always did, was hang Jesus up, get him tripped up on something, right? So here Jesus is ministering, doing his thing, and there's this guy, and he's got a withered hand, and he's had this withered hand for a very, very long time. Jesus sees him, but he also knows what those religious leaders are thinking. If I do something here, they're gonna try to get me. And so what does he do? He puts them on the spot. He gets them thinking, what's the Sabbath day really all about? And then he tells the guy, stand up. And before you know it, that withered hand is no more. Well, those religious leaders are indignant, aren't they? They are mad. But what did Jesus do? Well, did he? He really didn't do anything at all, did he? And so he really didn't violate the law at all. He simply told that guy, get up. And he was fixed up. He didn't touch him. He didn't go to work on the Sabbath, right? So they tried to trip him up when really he didn't do anything at all. But in the end of it all, this guy is healed. And it is because of Jesus. Jesus, the God of the Sabbath. Jesus saw this man's need, and there was compassion, and there was mercy extended to him. And what these religious leaders actually didn't get, what they actually missed out on, was that Jesus ends up fulfilling the Sabbath day purpose. And what's that purpose? To provide blessing to God's people. And that's just what that man received that day by the mercy and the compassion of his Jesus. And that's just what the Sabbath is about for you and me. It's a day for us, a set apart day to be provided blessings from God. You see, each Sabbath, when we see it for what it truly is and what it is meant to be for our lives, each Sabbath you and I are reminded and reassured repeatedly of the forgiveness and the life that's ours in Jesus. The reality is, we're the withered ones, just like the guy in the gospel. We're crippled by sin. And yet how our Jesus acts in mercy and compassion towards us, how he sees our need, and how he extends to us his grace and forgiveness. And by his death and by his resurrection, you and me are healed, restored, goodness and mercy prevail in him. Each Sabbath, when we get away and come to this place, it's a place of retreat, a place to rest in God's promises. It's medicine for our soul. Think of it that way. It's strength for our week. Did you ever have a Sunday or a service where you missed? We all have, right? So when we go camping, we're not intentional about trying to find a church out in that area. Sometimes I'll drive around the park and try to get the radio signal. And actually, believe it or not, on a good day, I can actually pick up our broadcast from the state park in Allegheny, depending on where I'm at. But anyway, we've all had those days, those Sundays or Saturdays where we've missed, and maybe we didn't want to, but circumstances, whatever, you feel off, don't you? Doesn't it just feel like your whole system is off balance? Something's missing. Our week doesn't seem to have the same kind of pep that we need to get us moving. This place, each Sunday, is good for our soul. It's good for us physically, too. It's a retreat. each Sabbath in the Spirit's power when we do away with all of those distractions. And sometimes we do come through the door even with those distractions. When we do away with all of those distractions in the Spirit's power, how we come to see this place as the quiet waters where our souls are indeed restored. And each Sabbath, my friends, as we take time to rest in our God uninterrupted, here's the other side of it. We're taking time to rest in one another, to build community, to center family life where it needs to be centered. Whether we want to recognize or realize it, sitting in these pews week after week after week shapes how our family life then happens. And so carving out that time to be with God, to nurture our faith, actually ends up being a form of nurture for our families and our homes. We're taking time to stop with all the hustle and the bustle and all of the stuff that consumes us. We're taking time to stop and to enjoy one another and to carry the importance of focused family time, Christ-centeredness, beyond these walls. That's huge. Think about how things used to be, and I'm young, but I do remember I had a good upbringing, right, Mom? I remember what life was like. See, you'd get up and we'd go to church, and sometimes I got to go to church twice. I'd come here with my grandparents, and then I went to St. Luke with my mom and my siblings. But that's how it started. Well, coming to church with my grandfather, by the way, there was incentive in the old Dutch mill. That's where I discovered corned beef hash. But anyway, it started with church, and then after church, it was family. Whether at my dad's parents or at my mom's parents, we were together. We were together, but it started here, and I think that's the key. It started right here. Perhaps today the Sabbath has lost its meaning. For some people, this day is just a day off. This day is a day to run errands and get all the stuff done that you weren't able to do throughout the week, but not for us. And maybe sometimes we allow those distractions to come in. But God surely knew what He was doing when He set a day of rest. When He gave to you and me this most remarkable day in the Sabbath. It's a day to stop. It's a day to be still. It's a day to hear all that's worth listening for. It's a day to receive the blessings of God. And it's a day to enjoy the blessing we are to one another. We need this place, and my goodness, we need this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by Tom and Sue Bloom, in thanks to God for all the happiness in their lives.
Yep, you betcha. Yeah, you can actually wait a second, though, because we're going to go do the piece, and then we'll sanitize. I invite you to please stand. Let's join together in speaking the offertory. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord, and fill to the brim our cup of blessing. Gather a harvest from the seeds that were sown, that we may be fed with the bread of life. Gather the hopes and the dreams of all. Unite them with the prayers we offer now. Grace our table with your presence, and give us a foretaste of the feast to come. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for John Sweeney. It's good to see John's here in church. He's got new parts. He had some shoulder surgery this past week, but recovering and doing well, John. It's so good that you're here in church, and we're thankful for success in your surgery this week. But we continue to hold you in prayer that healing will continue to happen for you. For Don Walczak, Don is going to be undergoing some tests for some medical issues that she's having. So please keep Don in your prayers. And also, last week I mentioned my cousin Jason. Things are not getting better for him. In fact, things seem to be becoming more complicated for him. They started dialysis with him this past week now, and the outlook just does not look so positive, at least on this side of the kingdom. But we know better, regardless, that God has him in his hands. So if you would please continue to pray for my cousin, pray for his mom and dad, which would be my Aunt Jody and Uncle Eric, that they might be sustained in this difficult time as well. Let us pray. Merciful Father, though you created all things good, through our first parents, we rebelled against your goodness, and in pursuing our own way, came under the curse of sin and its death. We give you thanks for the mercy you showed to your fallen creatures, and for your patience in the sending of your Son, who died for our sins. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, though we succumbed to the tempter and his lies, your Son never gave in to the temptation of Satan in the wilderness. Count us righteous in Christ and give us his strength that we may endure in the face of trial and temptation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though you gave us stewardship of your good creation, sometimes we love the gifts more than the giver. Save us from trusting in our possessions more than in your Son. Teach us to use what you have provided to help those in any kind of need. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though we are in awe of your power, your might is greater than we can know. Bless us with wise and faithful leaders. Guide all those who make, judge, and administer our laws in the nation, state, and all localities where we live and work. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak, the healer of the sick, the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind or body, the dying, those who grieve. And we especially pray today for John, for Dawn, for Jason, We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, anybody else that we name before you in our hearts, that in their afflictions and pain you may sustain and heal them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though we have lived too much in fear of the judgments of others, make us bold in heart so that we may speak your word confidently before those who do not yet know you. Open our hearts to generously supply the resources for your church right here and in our world. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, O merciful Father, and whatever else we need, we pray you to grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I think what I'm going to do for the service of the sacrament is, we did have a delayed start this morning, so I'm going to use the condensed form of communion liturgy that I've used in the past. So just kind of bear with me. If you know the parts, you certainly can recite them with me. The Lord be with you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, gracious Heavenly Father, with this bread and with this cup, we remember the life of our Lord offered for us, and believing in the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord's true body and blood with a living faith as he comes to us in his supper. Amen. And now we pray together as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As we've received God's peace into our hearts and our minds, let's take a moment and share an expression of peace with one another. Peace be with you.
As those who are worshiping now turn to one another and exchange the church's ancient greeting of the peace of the Lord, the pastor and members of St. John's ask God to send his peace into your hearts as well. The peace that God gives us is a peace beyond human understanding and a peace that is eternal. Pass his peace on to someone else today. As the people of St. John's come forward to the altar to receive the assurance of Christ's forgiveness and strength for the days ahead through the sacrament of Holy Communion, the congregation will sing three hymns. The first hymn during the distribution of the sacrament is Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, hymn number 90. people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is stjohnslutheran.office@gmail.com. This is your announcer, Darlene Schwenk, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Lord's true body and blood strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now until life everlasting. Impart in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Lord's true body and blood, strengthen you and keep you in the true faith from now to life everlasting. Depart in his joy and his peace. Amen. Please stand for the post-communion prayer. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. Savior, precious Savior, whom yet unseen we love. O name of might and favor, all of
yourself the revelation of love beyond our thought. We worship you, we bless you. To you alone we sing. We praise you and confess you, our holy Lord and King. In you all fullness dwelling, all grace and power divine, your glory all excelling, God's Son, O Savior mine. We worship you, we bless you, to you alone we sing. We praise you and confess you, our holy Lord and King. Oh, grant the consummation of this our song above, in endless adoration and everlasting love. Then shall we praise and bless you, perfect praises ring, and evermore confess you.
Please have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Wasn't it? Yeah, he really kind of opened it up at the end there. Yeah, put it to work. Blew out some of the dust and then those big pipes up there. Not that Lois doesn't, but you really kind of opened it up. So thanks, Joe, for taking care of us this morning. We're certainly blessed by you and prayers to Lois this morning. She of course is not feeling well, so. You know, our prayers do raise up to God on her behalf. I apologize for not mentioning her in the prayers this morning. So I had a conversation with Rod this morning. I almost had to go out on disability because I bit my tongue. Do you know what that's like to be a public speaker and bite your tongue? Holy moly. I was like slurring when I came in at 8:30 talking, and I'm like, you guys are going to think that I got into the communion line early or something. Holy man. And I pray, I said, oh God, let me be able to talk. Maybe that wasn't your prayer this morning, but it was mine. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Holy man, I must have bit it in the middle of the night and it's like all swollen on the side. It's terrible. So I might have to go out on disability this week, Rod. I don't know how things are going to be. Anyway, a couple of announcements for you before you go. This week is busy here. Tomorrow is the Board of Elders Tuesday evening. At 7 o'clock is a new member class, information class for anybody that might be interested in that. I've got a pretty good list. I think somewhere around 17 people or so are on that list, so that's great. But if you know of anybody that's interested in being a part of St. John's or wants to know a little bit more about our community, please share our community with them. That is the greatest, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest form of outreach is you. That Andrew principle, telling your friends about this place. So anyway, if you know anybody, it's not too late. Just let me know. Give me their name, and I would certainly be happy to call as well. We're into Lent, so there are some additional worship opportunities that are available for you. It's our tradition in the Pew Lancaster area. There is a noon hour Lenten rotation that happens at the different. Churches in our community. If you're interested in that, it's not printed in our worship bulletin, but the list is up on the bulletin board. So there's a service. It's put together by the Depew Lancaster Ministerium Group, which we don't participate in that. But if there is anybody that's interested, those services are listed up at the on the bulletin board. We also have in the evening our midweek Lent rotation with our Buffalo North Missouri Synod congregations. The schedule is printed right here in your bulletin. It starts at 6 o'clock. It's with a soup and sandwich, and then there's a 7:15 hymn sing, 7:30 worship service. You can check out the locations for that right in your bulletin. We are not hosting this year. We have hosted in the past, but there is a new congregation out in Clarence Center that we wanted to give the opportunity to, so they're going to be hosting in our stead this year. But again, it's open to you to join at any of those locations. Just to make you aware, this year will be the first year that we will not be offering First Communion. We're kind of going back to the old tradition of our church, which is you receive communion for the first time when you're confirmed. That was the model that was kind of used in the church forever. And what we've kind of discovered, I guess, with First Communion is it's great, and it's wonderful that young people are receiving the sacrament earlier, and they're instructed. And so we're doing what we're supposed to be doing by instructing them in that. Real hiccup is when these kids get to confirmation. It's kind of like they don't have anything to look forward to. We do our best to try to help them understand that confirmation is the beginning of your ministry, your kind of adult life in the church. But let's be real. In eighth grade, they really don't feel like they're adults. So by moving communion the first time to that eighth grade confirmation mark, it really kind of makes a neat tie in to the confirmation rite. So this is the first year that we're doing that. It was voted upon in the Board of Elders at the last meeting. It's been, I would say, probably a good couple of years of thoughtful consideration. It's been on the table, and we've been bouncing back and forth with it. So for those of you maybe who have a fifth grader this year, three more years, and you'll be good to go. So anyway, that's just to let you know. So that will not happen on Palm Sunday. So what does that mean? Palm Sunday service will be shorter now. So just kidding. Your journals are out on the table. Make sure you grab one of those before you go. Is there anything else that I'm missing for the good of the group? Oh, yeah. The breakfast is, I was moving there. Saturday is the worship assistants breakfast at 9 o'clock. So anybody that's not signed up, you certainly can still. We'd love to include you and have you a part of it. But let us know. All right? Good? Okay, have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.